Hi and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody coming to you from near Asheboro, North Carolina. We're continuing on in our study of the life and times of David. If you are in front of the Word of God, open up to 2 Samuel chapter 4. We'd like to cover chapter 4 and 5 in a bit of overview today with a bit of application along the way. As we think in terms of David's second movement, now that he is upon the throne of Israel, we have noticed recently that he continues to show great respect for the house of Saul. Even though Saul is now dead, his son Jonathan, David's great friend, is also dead. But yet we see the pattern continuing where he shows respect for the house of Saul. We saw that back in 1 Samuel 24 and 26, where he would not lay his hand upon the Lord's anointed. And then once again, that topic comes up again when he hears about the death of Saul. And even again, we see recently in chapter 3, where Abner has died. And now we're faced with the fact of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, will soon be dead. And this one David will continue to show respect for the house of Saul. So what does this mean in terms of his kingdom? Well, we'll notice first of all, verse 1, that this one Ishbosheth, when he hears about his general Abner being killed, he's fearful. He's called here Saul's son. Then we see a couple of men that are captains are introduced to us. These two men in verse 5 to 8 will be those that will go to Ishbosheth and kill him. But in the meanwhile, just for a quick note, notice there in verse 4, we're introduced to a man named Mephibosheth. He'll be very important when we get to chapter 9. As we see, he will be at the table with the king David. Mephibosheth here, we're told, is the son of Jonathan. So yes, he's in that house of Saul. And yet we see he's lame upon both feet. He had fallen when he was taken away quickly by a nurse when he was a child and became lame. So we'll come back to this man in future studies. But as we see, Ishbosheth, the king or temporary king of Israel, is now dead. For the first 6.5 years of the 40-year reign of David, those first 6.5 years, David was only over the tribe of Judah. We'll see soon in the next chapter that David will now reign over all of Israel. So we see in this chapter, chapter 4, we notice that when David inquires of the death of Ishbosheth, we see that even though he is a counterpart, since he's of the house of Saul, he shows great respect. And just in like manner to what happened when he found out about the death of Saul, we see here as well, these that come to him with the news of the death of a king in Israel, well, David makes sure that they also are put to death. He says it's like that Amalekite that came to him seeking some gain by giving a partial truth, a lie to him about how Saul died. He brings that up, and then he makes sure these ones that killed Ishbosheth die also. So with that, we move into chapter 5. The stage is now set in 2 Samuel chapter 5 for David to actually take over the reign of all of Israel. We see he continues to establish this kingdom. He becomes stronger and stronger, the scripture tells us. And one of the wonderful things is about this chapter is we see that David is inquiring of the Lord. Now, when we're studying this section, more and more often we'll be flipping over to 1 Chronicles. Kind of like when you're studying the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have to study between those in many of the stories, comparing one chapter, one book to the other to get the full story. So here, when you're studying 2 Samuel, often you turn to 1 Chronicles. So chapters 11, 12, and 14 of 1 Chronicles parallel with this chapter 5 of 2 Samuel. So in the first three verses of this section, of this chapter, now that we see that, yes, Abner is dead, Ishbosheth is dead, this one Abner had previously the general for Ishbosheth had come to David and had arranged an agreement and said, you know, it's time for us to come over. It's time for us all to be under one head. We're to follow you, David. And now that Abner is dead, Ishbosheth is dead, we see that this will actually come to pass. And so here, David in Hebron, where he's been ruling over Judah, now he will be anointed king. Israel, the various tribes come. The elders of the tribes, they come. And it tells us in 1 Chronicles 12 that there's great joy in Israel. They're rejoicing over what should have happened before, it seems. It has now come to pass. The one that they had sang praises to, David, the one who had killed his 10,000s in reference to the Philistines, their enemy, he is now finally to be their king. So as they bring refreshments and various things from the various tribes, they come to Hebron, they anoint him as king, and there's great joy. So with this, we see in verses 4 and 5, it notes the 40-year reign of David, the last 33 years over all of Israel. So until he's 70 years old, over half of his life, he's king of Israel, this man after God's own heart. And as we note that, as you study David's life and see the ebbs and flow of his life, we see the times when he's inquiring of the Lord are the times when we see an upward trend in his spiritual life. Several times back in 1 Samuel, we see him inquiring of the Lord. Early on in 2 Samuel, we do see the same. The times when he's not inquiring of the Lord, we see he was in a bad spot. He was waning in his faith that time when he went off to the enemy and lived for several months over there with the king of Gath. But now he's inquiring of the Lord again. We see how the Lord in his providence and his mercy had prevented David from fighting against Israel when he had ran off for a while. And yet now he's reigning over Israel. We see that as they moved now to Jerusalem from Hebron, does David, we see he exhorts his men, you know, who will go and take the lead? Who will run the Jebusites out of this place, Jerusalem? Well, Joab, the military leader, steps up again. He takes the lead. These Jebusites, you might remember, were one of the many enemies, one of the many inhabitants of Israel. Back in Joshua and in Judges, through those times, when Israel had come back into the land, time and again, they tried to put out their enemies from the land. Tells us in Judges 1, for example, that the tribe of Benjamin was not able to rid the Jebusites out of the land. So when we look at this, we see now they again are resistant. They say no to David. We're not leaving. And yet David says it's time. And through Joab, the Jebusites are put out. And we see David takes over the castle. He moves in. And we see victory. Later on in Chronicles 14, it tells us how there's fear from all the nations because now David is the king. So we also notice that if you study these portions and later on in chapter 23 and you compare it to 1 Chronicles, particularly chapter 11, the latter part of that chapter, you see the mention of mighty men. These leaders, these ones that risked their lives and was willing to take on the front lines, these mighty men of David. Spiritually speaking, are we mighty men for our Lord? Are we willing to be on the front lines and speak forth the truth and live lives for Christ? Well, we see in our chapter of 2 Samuel 5, down in verse 9 to 12, that as David takes this stronghold of Zion, moves into Jerusalem, the king of Tyre, Haram, well, he sends materials and some manpower to build David a house. You know, what bittersweet thoughts this must have been for David. Now he's in Jerusalem. Now he's on the throne. To think back of all those times when Saul was seeking to kill David, throwing a javelin at him. And then at other times, he would seek for David to come in and play the harp and to soothe him. Then he would be back chasing him out in the wilderness and in the caves, David would respond to him and say that he would not kill him in response. Saul would seem to repent, but then he'd go back at it and seek David's life. The thoughts of David now, thinking back of all the hard times that he's now upon the throne, thinking back perhaps to the faithfulness of his friend Jonathan, who had died also with Saul. And so as we think of these things, we see at the end of chapter 5, as David is inquiring of the Lord. Again, we see this is a great indication of him seeking the Lord, this man after God's own heart. Twice over at the end of this chapter, he's inquiring of the Lord again. You know, we saw that back in 1 Samuel 22, chapter 23, chapter 30, in those stories. Also 2 Samuel 2, we saw him inquiring of the Lord. Here we see twice over he inquires of the Lord. First of all, we see him inquiring of the Lord, verse 17 and verse 19. And the Lord tells him, yes, go fight the Philistines. And he has a great victory. In doing so, he names that place. A particular name that honors the Lord. He calls it Baal Perazim because of the victory that God had wrought there in honor of the Lord. But then he inquires of the Lord again, shall I go up against the Philistines again? They're arraying themselves again. They're stubbornly not going away. But this time the Lord says, wait, be patient. Wait until you hear the sound of the mulberry trees. And at the right time, then go and defeat the Philistines, which David did. Here we can think of how the Lord speaks to us in different ways, different times. Sometimes he answers our prayer yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. And we see that exampled here. David first time has said, yeah, go defeat the enemy. Next time he says, okay, David, wait until you hear the sound of the mulberry trees, and then go in. And once again, the Lord grants David great victory over the Philistines. And fear comes upon the nations round about. So we've seen here in this overview of chapter 4 and 5, David is now upon the throne over all of Israel. There's great joy. The people, the tribes of Israel, the elders of Israel see this is what it really should be, that David is over all of Israel. And there's victory after victory occurring. As we now see David's inquiring of the Lord, as we that know the Lord Jesus, are we seeking the Lord's face? Are we inquiring of him, looking at his word, going to him in prayer, seeking his will? I pray you'll be encouraged with this study as we continue to see David establishing this kingdom, growing stronger and stronger, a man after God's own heart. Keeping in mind this overall thrust of the study, we see how on one hand David is a picture of Christ many times. As he's the man just a few chapters from now in this study, we'll see he has a covenant established with God. You see, the Davidic covenant that will lead to the Lord Jesus as he sits upon the throne of David in a coming day. And yet on the other side of the coin, when we study the life of David, we see him in his day-to-day situations. We see him in his ups, and we see him in his downs, in his struggles. And from that, from a practical standpoint as a man, we can learn from the life of David as well. I pray you'll be encouraged with this study. And I thank you for joining us once again.